May I just add quickly to that, too, Brother Chuck, that if you look at verses 11 to verse 13, I want you to keep in mind the idea or the thought or the principle of consequences. I need you to understand that. There is consequences for everything. If we die with him, there's consequences. We would live with him. So just keeping that in mind, that there is consequences for every good thing, and there is consequences for every bad thing. This is the law of God. Whatever man sow, that also he shall reap. And that doesn't mean only for bad things, it means also for good things. A farmer, he put a seed of apple, he's going to get an apple tree. If he puts a seed for orange, he's going to get an orange tree. He's not going to put a seed for orange and get an apple tree. Consequences for every word, for every action we do. The other thing, to help us a little bit in the idea of denying, keep in mind, this is written to professors. So in this atmosphere, there are real and there are unreal. Keep that in mind all the time. Otherwise, we get to the idea, some people use that verse to say, you could lose your salvation. Absolutely not, because if you look at verse 10, salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Again, this is another one here. It's number 5 probably. In Christ Jesus, it's secure. Your salvation in Christ Jesus is secure. If you are saved, you are saved. But there's consequences for everything. Now, if you are not saved, there's also consequences for that. So, just keeping that in mind, it will help us a little bit to say, it's not a matter of losing your salvation when the Lord deny you. That's not at all the idea in there, because it's written for those company that have real and unreal, and we will get to that later on. Is that clear for everybody? Are you awake still? Yeah. I'm looking at you. Okay.
Well, that is the key to this. I really think that is the key, that we remember that there are those, and we're going to come to them in a few minutes here, who carry a Bible, who say words, but their heart is not right. They are vessels of wood and earth, you see. So if we can remember that, I think that's the key that we were looking for here. Did I interrupt you, Dave? Okay. Remember again from this verse, the end of 14, that there are many conversations that you and I will avoid. Remember that. We are not robots or puppets. We have the Spirit of God who indwells us. And he teaches us that there are lines that people would, or areas of conversation that they may want to take us down, that they're unprofitable. We're not going to go there with them. You know, doesn't mean that we're unkind to them. But we recognize, it says, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit. Do you know, we were reminded many years ago at this conference, in dealing with others, aim at the conscience. Don't just be a question answerer. Aim at the conscience of the one that is asking the question. Then the Lord will come through and he'll lead into perhaps a good area. But if it's not aimed at the conscience, it's just words. And it says here, words to no profit.
I'd just like to read chapter 6 of the first epistle to Timothy. I think this is a very nice connection to the thought of avoiding conversations that are unprofitable. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. And Paul says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of knowledge falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. And you know, Timothy was a young man. And I think one of the characteristics of young people is we like to get into conversations of all sorts. And we think that there's some intellectual benefit from all kinds of conversations. And the conversations very often move from perhaps a question that has some validity to discussions that are not profitable at all. In fact, they waste time. They don't build up. They cause confusion amongst young people. And I think in this section of the epistle in 2 Timothy, that there is behind all of this, the enemy of our souls, there is a system, an organized approach, young people, that sometimes we are not cognizant of, that organized approach is to take you away from the truth of God's word. Because false teaching, error, is always going to be mixed with a little bit of truth, and you're going to be engaged with a lot of discussion. But you know what? At the end of the day, Paul is saying to Timothy, he's saying to you and I today, avoid it. He's not saying, you know, have a discussion for a while, or when you see it going off, leave. He says, avoid it. And avoid it means when you see that hole in the street, you don't even go near it. You go away from it, because it will cause young people a lot of confusion. It'll cause you to stumble. And at the end of the day, it will be unprofitable.
When he's speaking about these quarrelsome discussions and these quarrelsome words, is he speaking mostly, what reference is he speaking to? Is he speaking in reference to believers and believers, or believers and unbelievers?
Well, I think, again, Emil's statement helps us with that. It's a mixture. It's Christian profession that is involved here. So, yes, there are believers. There are believers who are on a wrong pathway. There are believers who are on a right pathway. There are unbelievers who are mixed in with them. So it requires the wisdom of God. And there's a comment over here, but I'll just give you a wonderful example before our brother speaks of our Lord. Do you remember when they came to the Lord Jesus and they said to him, by what authority do you do these things? Do you remember that? Do you remember the Lord's answer to them? He aimed at the conscience. The Lord says, well, tell me about the baptism of John. And he inquires. He says, if you answer this for me, I'll answer you. They didn't. They turned and they walked away. So I mean, this is the helpful thing to us. We'll have it again in this same epistle later on in chapter 3. There are things that we avoid. So go ahead, brother.